Teachers Off Duty. If you've never joined us before, my name is Rebecca Rogers. I'm R Rogers World on all social media platforms.
I'm Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley in Fifth on all socials.
I am Swag Shoddy 425. I'm just playing. I'm Brit Richardson, Honest Teacher Vibes on all social media platforms.
And I am Barry White Jr., Barry White Jr. 2_ all social media platforms.
Whoop whoop. I literally blanked for a second. It's okay. We obviously, the ADHD is so strong. I need to get medication for that. Anyways, I am not dressed super stylishly today because my teacher style box has not come in yet.
Oh my gosh. If you are listening, I told them not to throw this box away.
We one of them got hands. We practiced
and
so many times.
It didn't
I
work
don't
out.
Know. You know what?
My anxiety
okay.
just for shot the records, through the roof.
For the record, she got 2 out of 3. So this
yeah,
one.
Right. I still, you know, I. Trust me,
if you're listening, they just threw the box.
Teacher Style Box is sponsoring our last few episodes, and I love Teacher Style Box. Like, genuinely, I use it all the time. If you follow my Instagram, like, you know, I tag it in all my outfit stuff because it's amazing. So it's a clothing rental subscription service, $45 a month, but with our code Teachers Off Duty, you can get a free 30-day trial. So pretty much what you do when you make an account, you go through all the clothes and they have new additions every single day, and you basically, anything that you like, you put in your virtual closet. Once you have enough items in your virtual closet, the company will pick 2 items that they have on hand. You know, they need variety because people order things and they have only so many in stock, you know. So they will send it to you in this box. In the box, you'll have your clothes. You're going to have some information on Teacher Style Box about how you don't have to wash it. You literally just take the mailer bag that's inside. Once you're done, you go online, hit return, notify. So I usually get them Sunday, Monday, I'll wear one outfit Monday, one outfit Tuesday. Tuesday night, I'll go in, hit return, notify. Wednesday, I'll stick the mailer in the box, and within a few days, I have a whole other box ready to go for my next set of wearing.
And what's the code they can use to get a discount?
Teachers Off Duty. And I seriously love this. Anyone who follows me knows that I use it all the time. It's really great, you know, if you're in between sizes, like if you're pregnant, for example, it's really great to not
maternity.
Have to go out and buy
maternity.
A whole new wardrobe. They have maternity, they have stuff for admin, they have casual Fridays, they have plus sizes. Like, it's very inclusive. It's really awesome. And the brands of clothes that they have are, like, there's so much diversity. You know, there's Ralph Lauren, there's I keep hitting the microphone. There's Ralph Lauren, there's Loft, J. Crew. Like, there's so many different styles.
And
I
Barry,
really
what
like
you say,
it.
Barry White over here say, what you say you gonna do for one of your teachers?
You know what? I think I'm gonna sponsor one for one of my teachers.
You know,
gonna
sponsor,
you know,
we're
gonna do a raffle.
That is so
we're gonna do a raffle.
I like that.
You
I
know,
like
teachers
that.
Love raffles. You know, they love
raffles.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. No, that's nice. And then if you really love an item that you get, you can actually purchase it and keep it forever if you want. Or if you don't want to keep it, you can wear
it,
send it back. And then all of the items that get returned to them go through an extensive cleaning process.
Absolutely.
And it's very safe and very, like, health conscious with the pandemic and everything. So make sure you hit up Teacher Style Box. It's a fun little subscription service to get some new styles in your closet.
Absolutely.
I'm excited for I would say we stop throwing this box because neither one of y'all ain't got hands. No
that
hands,
was a beautiful
no future.
Throw.
No hands, no future.
I'm just playing.
We have Barry for one more episode. We love him dearly. He's an example of an amazing admin if you've checked out our last few episodes and really heard how much he cares about the kids, the teachers, the parents. So we wanted to take our last episode with him and really talk about administration, school culture, how admin can help with that. You know, we have, you know, people send us stories all the time. I would love to share some of the stories about admin and get an admin's perspective on it. You know, like, what is probably exaggerated, what is not, like, what is a time that, you know, admin was definitely in the right, what was a time that admin might have not been in the right, you know. I would love to hear your thoughts.
Absolutely, let's do it.
I have one story of a teacher who, you know, she teaches elementary school, she teaches first grade, and a mom accused her of letting a kid run into something. She said, she has a loose tooth, and I think it's your fault. You know, she went to school, she didn't have a loose tooth, she came home, she did have a loose tooth. This is something that you did in your classroom. And it was something that the admin actually entertained, and they had to have an entire conference about it. But if you were brought that kind of thing to a teacher saying, I think something happened, I think she got hit, I think she ran into something.
Can I have a question? Does this mom know that kids lose their teeth?
No. I don't know. But, you know, realistically, like with little kids, that is something that's going to happen. They're going to have loose teeth. If you as an admin was brought that issue by a parent, what would you say? Would you have a whole conference with them? Was that something that you would shut down? Like, what do you think?
Or would you pull a Kevin Hart and be like, hey, let me talk to you real quick. Before you see your baby, did your baby have two eyes? Yeah, one eye. Hey, did he have his teeth when he came? Okay, just double checking before you see your baby.
Yeah. No, no, certainly. So here's how we address this. So one, I don't think it was anything out of bounds, but the approach, the context matters, right? So,
right. Absolutely.
So fortunately, I'm in a unique position when I'm actually at a K-2 school, right? So it's two campuses, but my campus specifically is K-2. So okay. I actually have had a lot of these scenarios. Or I've seen it play out. And in a situation like that where a parent is just kind of bent on, no, this happened, you know, the teacher did it, it was irresponsible, whatever that is.
Right.
It's one of those, one, first of all, I have my teachers back at all times, right? So I don't lead with, and again, I still respect the parents, and they are our community.
Right.
So it's one of those, okay, I'm going to lead with good faith on both sides first, right? So
let's go. That's a good, boy.
Yeah, so what's their approach first, right? So then when I go to my teacher and I take, all right, so tell me what's going on. Tell me, look, I'm sure there's some Class Dojo message that was long and I read always on the phone and hung up. Like, oh, she keep texting me. It's okay. Don't respond no more. Yeah. It's the Class Dojo, right?
Hey, they so, be popping on the Class Dojo, boy.
Man, responses? Boy, I've seen a few. Class so, but yeah, I'll actually so tell me what happened. And again, it was like, no, I was watching. I promised that didn't happen in the company. Okay, no problem. Don't respond. Let's set up a conference. So then I would just call, hey, well, I'd love to talk about this, you know, hear you out, see what's going on, see if we can all get on the same page. And then when we had that conference, one of those things that we have to be mindful of is making sure we are monitoring the temperature of the room, right?
Hey,
so, because again, it can't be one of those where either party leaves feeling like, oh, well, he was one side, oh, it was, you know, shallow. It's more so the goal is to leave on one team.
Right.
So
yes,
that's what I'm trying to navigate the conversation to is, okay, you know, again, as you said, kindergarten, first, second grade, it's 5, 6, 7-year-olds. Things going to happen, right? Accidents happen all the time. Yeah, somebody at recess. As somebody, we just got a new playground. People, like, broke their arm. They just falling off a monkey bar because they weren't familiar with it. These things happen as in young adolescents. You know that. So, again, just making it apparent aware that we understand that, you know, in school we have a structured environment. You notice this teacher is one of the ones that always talk about your kids, you know.
Right,
I'm assuming they would have been messaging the mass, you know, messages about the positive stuff.
Right.
So, I think we come to a place where understanding that, this might, if it did occur, you know, he wasn't aware, but thank you for bringing it up and we addressing it. And we'll be definitely mindful that, okay, maybe we need a little extra, you know, love or extra attention. We're in the classroom because maybe you're a little busier. You know, some students are busier than others.
Right.
So why are you trying to, you know, work with this group? The other one might be running into a wall, right? So it's like one of those, again, and just leaving that meeting, again, knowing that, hey, this teacher got you, at the end of the day, this teacher has the best interest, your student's best interest at heart, and you have your child's best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when we all, the river meets, is we all have one goal, one outcome, well, desired outcome, which is this student's success, your child's success. And if we can all leave with that, then I think we all be in a good place. And typically, that's it. It is one, again, when parents call any irate or maybe just a little frustrated, two things. They always want to be heard, right? They want to feel like they're heard. So I have no problem hearing it out. I was okay. Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I get that, right? From my perspective. And then again, they just want to know an action step. So, okay, so yes, going forward, again, I know she's aware of this. Thank you for bringing that. There may be no extra attention during recess play or anything like that. And then we kind of smooth the transition like that. So it's one of those just ensuring that we leave where everybody's on the same boat going down the same river the same way.
Right.
I've always had a question too, like admin. So the school that I was at, we had like 100 different teachers. So I've always wondered as admin, how in the world, because you can't please everybody, right? You got so many different temperatures. You got so many different temperaments of teachers. How do you as an admin, how do you handle all those different temperaments of teachers? Like some of them, like you got to go to their classroom all the time for classroom management issues, or you got to go to their classroom all the time for discipline problems, or you got some teachers like they quick to fly off the handle, or you got some teachers that are sensitive and, you know, stuff makes them cry when a parent calls and is talking crazy to them. Like, how do you as an admin handle all your different teachers without feeling like when they bring a problem to you? Because sometimes as teachers, we feel like admin treats us like we're clucking hens. Complaining.
I can understand
so how
that.
Do you as a principal, like how do you handle all their different like personalities and stuff like that?
So first thing is, as an administrator, administrator going in, like knowing that you're about to lead, you know, many teachers that have different styles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I look at it like this. That's why I appreciate and I'm really a champion administrators who had that classroom experience, right? Who was a teacher, who was, you know, through the weeds, through the trenches, through the trial tribulation, when you weren't at your best, when you was at your best.
Right.
Because then as I transition, I look at it like, well, what did I do in my classroom?
Okay.
It wasn't a one size fit all.
Right.
I had many different personalities.
Okay.
Like, I had so many different ones that I had to adhere to at one time, right? As a classroom teacher, think about it right now.
Right.
You have many different students and learning styles. Or this one likes this. This wasn't. This one doesn't like this. This one does like recess. Things like that. So when I transition over, I just come in knowing that I'm going to have a melting pot of different, pretty much a gumbo.
Right.
You know about that old school gumbo.
You know about that old school gumbo.
Yeah, see, I ain't had it in a while. But
hey,
I know
gumbo
about
be fire.
That's real country gumbo too. So just again, so I know, all right, I'm gonna have my meats, I'm having potatoes, I'm gonna have my vegetables in there. So I treat each case by case.
Right.
I take case by case. I don't allow it be a one size. Oh, well, this person always call them classroom management. So you know what? This is just a, you know what? Anytime we go down there, it's gonna be something for classroom management. No, in that moment, I might have had to pull a student out. When they call again, I'm not gonna have a preconceived notation of okay, I'm going now because his classroom's out of control again, or he's out of control again. No, oh, maybe something different, or maybe we do need something.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you turn that into is, well, tell me how you got there.
Yeah.
Tell me what took place beforehand.
Right, okay.
Right? And if they frustrate in the moment, that's fine. But I'm not coming in there going, hey, this is your problem. This is how you fix it. I'm going, hey, well, tell me, what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay, now, and I'm going to try to work it to where they developed, okay, this is my problem. This is what I'm seeing, and this is how I can get to the next,
outcome.
Gosh.
That's
awesome.
That takes listening.
Yeah.
And that takes discipline and not coming in with that, no, okay, I'm coming in, because I can easily go in, oh, I got this strategy, I got that strategy. I've done this before in my classroom, so this is what you need to do. This might not work for you.
Right.
So I need to sit and observe and listen. Okay, tell me what you like.
So
tell me what
you
strength.
So you get to know your teachers.
Like you have to know.
I have a question. Okay, so what would be your advice for teachers who maybe don't have a supportive admin or don't have someone that is going to help them in situations they need help with, or, you know, treats them like clucking hens? What would you advise them to do?
Yeah, so and across the world, of course, we know different apples, right? So you got your bad batch, you got your good batch. So in a situation like that where you do have maybe one, I would like to know what is the disconnect, right? Because sometimes it's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher can have, maybe you had a run-in or just a moment that wasn't really positive with this administrator. So now that's kind of setting the tone for the rest of the year. So now when you see him, you're not really speaking, or they're not speaking to you. So kind of what's the disconnect, and how can we bridge that relationship? Like what went wrong? Because at the end of the day, my role is to serve them. I'm a servant leader. So at this point now, I was telling my secretary the other day, she came to my office, she was like, you had a line up here at 7 a.m. first thing, but I've already accepted, if I'm gonna be in this seat, if I must call myself a school leader, that my role is now to serve everybody else. It ain't about my ego, it ain't about my personality.
I have never heard a principal say that.
I love that so much.
But reality, and even on the administrative side, administrators out there that's listening and again watching, you know that if you take all that personal, you will leave bogged down.
Right.
And I can't, you know my charisma, my personality.
Right. Yeah,
I can't operate like that.
Right.
I can't leave, oh my God, because this had to do with this issue. No, I'm coming in. How can I help?
Right.
And I know I have 1,000 things in my emails that I have to get through. I have to do the observation. I have to go through
paperwork,
title, this, that. But now, how can I help? I have to have myself available for that. Even in the moment, if I'm not, I don't feel like there was.
Right.
You need me. You need my support, because why? You're going back into a classroom with 20 or 22 kids who is now going to transition, and they need an experience.
Right.
They need an experience that's worthwhile and positive that they can take with them next. You know.
That's what's up.
So maybe communicate with your administrators if you feel like, because I felt that way my first year. The administrator that I had, she was just a little extra and not very helpful. And
some people
that
be on
was
a power trip. For real.
Yeah, and it pretty much was that. And it was, that was the year that I had my wrist sprained in my classroom.
Medicate.
And the student, long story short, the student had a meltdown in the middle of my room and was throwing desks and everything around and grabbed me and sprained my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked the administrator, like, you know, a couple days later, I am literally coming to school with wrapped wrists because I'm a first year teacher. I didn't have any sick days to take off.
Right.
So I asked her, I said, well, what's going to happen now? Like, what's the next step? Like, is there a consequence for this? Like, what's going to happen? She flat out said, well, that's not your job to decide. That's mine. And I said, okay, I'm not trying to tell you I want to decide that. I just was wondering what's going to happen next. Because now I'm terrified to go in my classroom alone.
Absolutely.
So that happened. And then later in the year, we had another meltdown. And we were out at recess. I'll never forget this. It was like April. Like, we were getting ready. Or no, it was May. We were getting ready for field day. And she comes out on the playground and finds me. And she goes, well, I just wanted to ask you, what do you think we should do about this? And I said, well, it's not my job to decide. That's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because she had shut down that communication from the beginning of the year. And that's, you know, that's unfortunate that some administrators, you know, feel that way, that it's some kind of power trip. When in all reality, I love that perspective you bring. It's, you're here to help. And it's like, you know, we're all trying to reach the same goal here. We're all trying to make this successful for these kids. So why can't we work together? Why is it that, you know, you're my boss and you're above me, so I can't ask you for help in any way, you know?
But see, so, I know you better go real quick. Just good. To piggyback off that. And then it comes with, I believe, in setting the tone from the beginning, and transparency, right?
Yeah.
So even though, again, we sit here and certain decisions has to come through us, right? However, we can make known what is what, who does where, what's going to happen, is that, and third, in the beginning, by just being transparent. Think of how many times we have a wish with the whole staff. Hey, roles and responsibilities. This is our roles is on it. So my name is on it. Hey, this is what I'm taking care of. My dean's taking care of, my BMT or my counselor, social worker, so on and so forth. And we just be transparent with what's happened, so we don't go into that. We have a behavior matrix, a school-wide behavior matrix. This is what's going to happen if X, Y, Z.
Right.
This is when we step in. This is when we intervene, right? So we don't have situations where we have teachers really acting like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. Or you feel fearful to go back to the classroom. Because one thing that you don't want is a teacher. First of all, any building you walk into and you have any teacher that's afraid to teach their class, I got to look at the administrator. I got to look at what are we doing?
Right, right.
Are you in the office all day or are you out? Because once upon a time, right, there was may have been some situations that only happened. All I know is if we don't have the answers to, because it might be a student that is might be, you know, protected again, you know, for certain things. So then what we can do is action. Okay, how many people is going to, you know, check in? How many people is going to do walks? Well, how can we get people preventative and be proactive instead of reactive?
Because
what your fear comes into is the reactiveness, right? After it's already happened to you, so now you've already done, you done felt it. How I done seen this now, so now when I'm in my office, in real time in my office, I'm problem, so I'm going through a process. How, what can I do to be proactive to make sure this doesn't get to that point again? And that's what you want to know. That's what you want to know. Is there any plan that can help me ease my tension or ease my anxiety, knowing that at least we have something in place that will prevent this from getting to this point, as opposed to the reactiveness of what's the consequence after this happened. See what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
Well, I also really like what you said before about, you know, when it comes to any kind of issue that's presented to an admin, you know, especially when it comes to parents, that they really just want to be heard. And I think, you know, even as teachers, when we get very frustrated with how we're treated, because in reality, there's a lot of parents that don't treat us very well. I think it's very quick to want an administrator to just shut it down and like put their foot down. And I think that sometimes we forget that, you know, it doesn't hurt anyone to just let a parent be heard sometimes. And like, even as we get frustrated, because I know I'm in the same way, like there have been times where I'm like, why are they even giving this the time of day? Like, this is ridiculous. And I think that, you know, we're all human and we make mistakes and we do get emotional, but I think at the end of the day, when you're able to logistically think through it, it's important to remember that just because an administrator wants to make someone feel heard doesn't mean they don't agree with you and doesn't mean that they're not supporting you. It's about de-escalation. And I think there's so many times that people want it to, and like, I'm guilty of this also, they want to just stick it to somebody, right? They want, you upset me, I want you to be upset back. And I think that, you know, remembering that at the end of the day, an admin's job is to de-escalate, not necessarily like stick it to someone just because you want it to
be. And it's a reality. Think about this. So in those moments, you know, you're frustrated, maybe overwhelmed. Oh, yeah, I'm at my point with this. So again, you want your administrator to go off on his parent, just know just undisputedly, you're on my side and just end the day. But then think about this. That's a moment.
Right.
That moment has come and that moment shall pass. So let's say a week later, you still have this child in your classroom. You still at some point will need to communicate with this parent.
Right.
It can't always be, I need Mr. White there to facilitate the conversation. Because at the end of the day, now I'm taking away, stripping away all your autonomy and your authority to build a relationship with this parent who, again, we all have been in relationships with them, ups and downs. Right. It may not have started off the right way, but then eventually, how many times you said, I had a run-in with this parent because, you know, this student, whatever it was, by the end of the year, they was your best friend.
Absolutely.
Bring you coffee, bring you treats. They're the ones that give you the most gifts on Christmas and teacher appreciation.
Absolutely. On the flip side, though, I do think that there are some administrators that are so, you know, conscious to make sure parents feel heard. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes it's forgotten that teachers also want to feel heard.
Exactly.
And I think that, and again, like, you're an amazing admin, but I have definitely experienced administration who were so focused on making sure parents felt heard and seen that it was not reciprocated back to teachers. And I think that remembering, you know, making people feel seen and heard is very important. But it's also, there's two sides of it. You know, if you don't encourage your teachers in the same way, you don't support them in the same way, what's going to make them want to come back? You know, when that transfer period comes around, you know, they're, if you don't make them feel seen, if you don't make them feel heard, they're going to go find someone else that will.
To that point, though, communicating for the administration like that, for the flip side of it, with your teachers, communicating. Mm-hmm. They'll get annoyed with me how many updates I give them. I come straight to the front door, hey, so this little request, why don't you know real quick, this is what I'm doing, this is what we just talked about. This, again, bringing it back to them, like, say I've let a parent, you know, heard it, and they was going off, and I just said, okay, real calm. And I never followed back up with a teacher. Now it feels like, oh, you know, they don't care and they're not supportive. But I'm going to go back and go, hey, this is what happened. This is X, Y, Z. And it'd be that, again, communication, that bridging that gap.
Right.
Because it's a divide. So just to that point. Go
ahead. So I got two questions. So the first question, do y'all have to go through any leadership classes, seminars, anything like that as principals? My second question is, because I feel like there's a lot of admin watching. We know there's not any perfect admin.
Nope.
So my second question is, what are the things that you struggle with as an admin that you feel like you can get better on? So first question, do y'all have to take leadership classes? Because some of these folks knew how to lead kids, but they don't know how to manage adults. So leadership classes, and two, what are the things that you feel like you struggle with as an admin? Because there's no perfect admin, just like there's no perfect teachers.
Absolutely. Yeah, so to the first question, yes. So typically everyone has to go, and it's consistent. So same way we say on your evaluation, right, when we're evaluating that last bucket, the reflective practitioner, right? Consistently, what are you doing to seek new research or adapt the ways that if we improve your teaching craft? We got to do the same thing. So we should constantly be seeking out whether that's conferences, right? Or whether that's leaning on another admin. I build up a wealth of different administrators from North Carolina, from my cohort, that I'll have no problem calling in a second. Like, hey, man, I may have done this wrong. Tell me what you think about that.
Right.
So yeah, so it is important to, even as a leader, you don't have all answers. I don't have all the answers, but the difference is if you ask something I don't know, I say, okay, let me seek this to try to go find it, as opposed to trying to make something up and then it's wrong and then now it's a disaster. Now it's like, well, you don't know what he's doing. Now you done lost trust in me, right?
Right.
So then, then to your second point, 100%. Yeah, Barry White ain't perfect.
Right. Because I feel like it's a lot of, like, I feel like it's a lot of admin listening.
Because
we know you outside of the podcast.
Of course.
We love you as a person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I feel like it's some admin that might be listening, like, dang, they just hype him up. Like, he ain't perfect.
Yeah.
He ain't got no.
100%. So for one, believe that there's nothing perfect about me. And I've had, the reason why I can speak to this is mostly because I've had these experiences where I've had a trial and okay, I did this wrong way. I said this at the wrong time. I let my temper go up, whereas my voice elevated when it shouldn't have.
Okay.
And then I had to get corrected. But I'm open to being coached, and I'm open like, I have mentors that I check in with, you know, on a district level. So I always, and even my school, my principal, like, and I lean on people, hey, I did this, even like, she'll come and shout out to Principal Hatch, I love you so much.
Hey.
Because she gives me the key to reins. Love you so much, BC Cougars. She'll give me the reins, hey, do your thing. But she knows that even if she plucked, oh man, that was a great job doing that. Every single time before I'm doing it, I'm coming to her, hey, real quick, I'm thinking I'm doing this. what do you think about this? Okay. I'm always getting input from another stakeholder, whether that's my principal, my dean of students,
right,
my secretary. I call my, she stays with me. Hey, I'm thinking about this because I want different perspectives.
Oh, you ask, right. Yeah.
So again, because I know I don't have it all.
Right.
And I'm just learning. Right. I'm just developing. But one thing, my strength though, is the reason why it may seem as though, you know, the NAB is, oh, this, you know, this is great, because I really believe in school culture. That's something that I'm really passionate about and I'm really good at. And I practice it and I'm skilled at it. And my, you know, and that's my personality though. I'm a team builder.
Right.
Like, I'm really big on that concept.
Right.
But, you know, athlete, you know, growing up, basketball, you know, listen, I wasn't solo player. I like to get the assists.
I like to be
triple threat.
Right.
So I'm big on that. In a school environment, I'm really big on the cohesiveness. Like they tell you, anybody watching comedy for BC, you know, Billingsville, they tell you, I am huge on that big team thing. All of us are going. All is
we're all
getting celebrated.
Right.
You know, at any point in time, like it doesn't matter. So that's how my approach again, I kind of I have leeway to make mistakes because they know I'm not perfect, but my focus is going to make sure that everybody feels supported and taken care of. If you got a group that feels that, they're not going to look at you as your faults. They're going to say, okay, he's learning.
He's
allowed to have, you know, make mistakes and
grow. Well, you know what? You know, as your little sis, I'm a, cause we family outside the podcast.
What's up, baby?
I feel like you tell me what you struggle with.
Oh, what I struggle with?
Yeah, what's the thing that you, give me a little bit more clarity.
More clarity, okay, because I gave you little tidbits.
Because I'm your sister, I'm going to give you a hard time.
No, go for me. I gave you little tidbits. So one thing I know that's, I won't say struggle with, but areas of growth that I want to improve on is that balance between ensuring, you know, being that advocate for that school coach and that climate builder and that instructional leadership. So again, as a teacher, data was on my brain. That's it. As an administrator, I come in with that mindset of data. I'm data savvy.
Yeah,
I'm huge on building systems. But throughout the year, especially this year, that balancing, administrators, you notice that balancing act of being able to dive so deep into the data portion, but then also still ensure that the climate and culture is still going on. So I know 100%, and everybody, I know this through comedy, they know what's up.
Right.
Like, especially the last 2 years, trying to balance, still, you know, having your data deep dives and, you know, observations, doing the walkthroughs all the times. And still making sure everybody's taken care of and making it to the end without, you know, resigning or quitting on you. That is a tough balance act that I'm still growing in, and I'm definitely trying to get both sides up to one instead of one.
I appreciate this big, bro. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so yeah,
I
want
to know, because I know, like, a lot of people, you know, maybe have administrators they don't see very often during the day.
Because
I
want to
know, what is like a typical day look like for you when you, like, walk in the door until you leave at night? What do you do? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, my principal, she's amazing, but, like, I know this year she was really bogged down with, like, things for the state and paperwork, and we barely get to see her. So I just want to know, like, what do you do on a daily basis?
Absolutely, and that's real. Like, it's many times where you might have gone, I've seen either been a part of as a teacher, or seen where you might even know you've seen your VP for a week, right, or your principal a week, because they have, again, not necessarily because they don't want to be seen or want to be a part, but it's so much going on that you wouldn't know about, and it's not your fault if you don't know about it and you start to develop uptight feelings. But how we combat that and is that we just, I mean, really intentional about my day. So when I come in, it got to be strategic. So when I come in, boom, I know, all right, you know, 6:30, whatever it is, first thing I got to look at the system coverage for the day. That's number one. School starts 7:05.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the,
my school starts at 8:30. I'm going at 8:25.
It's early school. Yeah.
Before Jesus.
Right. exactly. Before Jesus. It fluctuates, man. I might have stopped and some coffee. It might be 7:05.
It's 8:30.
It fluctuates. But anyway, especially the first 3 or 4 months, I'm definitely there super early. But again, set a tone, I get my coverage. So that's what day looks like. Gotta look at the coverage. Apps is coming in. Okay, I gotta figure this out, because you know we don't have no subs. No. So I gotta play Tetris. I gotta pull this one. I gotta do that.
So you coordinate the subs?
Yes, I do all that.
Okay, we have a sub coordinator.
Nah, my assistant principal, she has a
position specifically for that?
She's like, yes, that's her position, but she also, like, substitutes. So she's like our lead substitute for the district.
Cool.
My district
that's
is
so
very
good.
Small.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
I gotcha. Like, I'm talking 500 kids in the entire district.
Oh, okay.
Like K-12.
Gotcha.
Oh, we got 500 kids in one grade level.
No, mine's very, very tiny. But she coordinates all the substitutes.
Oh, that's so cool.
But
I hadn't thought about
that. You do that.
Yeah, so I have to go through the covers to figure that out. Then after that, We have, you know, I'm up front when the kids come in. We got the music going. And I gotta set the tone. So because nobody's else amped, I gotta be, and then everybody else will fall in line. The kids will come in. So then, all right, we have this might be specific to us. We got morning news, so where everybody gets on the morning news. That my principal will do the weather. Another person do wise words. You know, somebody else does the joke of the day, right? So just different things like that. Mm-hmm. Being visible. But then exactly at 8:15, as they know it's my time, and everybody walk, so then they see me walking out, are you about to do your rounds? I have to do my rounds. That's something I'm very joyful about. That's what I was talking about when I come each classroom. Gotta be present. Say hello. This is a touch. Or hey, how you doing? What's going on? Again, just so I'm visible, because it matters. That presence matters.
Absolutely.
Even if I'm in there for 5-10 minutes. Even at 30 seconds, 6 seconds, they saw me. They know it's there and they know I'm around.
Right.
So those rounds look like. And then get back to the office and I gotta start building systems. The email's coming. All the things. Do nothing. And then throughout the day, I try, okay, no recess is coming up. All right, let me be present there. Let me get the music speaker out there.
Be out
set
there
that
up. I'm out there at the recess, baby.
I'm making it happen.
That's fun.
Seriously,
so
it's fun. Yeah. Exactly. You know, especially when I'm available. You know, I'm out there. At least, again, pick spots. So we're going to be bogged down in so much, like the AC going out. I had to spend most of my day trying to with building and maintenance, you know, services again. So just one of those picking spots. So it's not about always being out in the hallway. You know that narrative. Oh, they always in the office. Well, sometimes I gotta be in the office. I got four monitors set up. Like it's the command center, and I'm going through.
He's the guy
systems.
In the chair.
I'm really the guy. Seriously, though, I'm going to send y'all a picture of what it looks like. Seriously, they think I'm crazy.
We need AC.
It goes just like that. I'm telling you. But yeah, so again, it comes down to it. And I'm not trying to send a narrative that, you know, I'm always out and all that. No, I'm in the office getting the building system
right,
and building how the school works, you know, keeping the school running, you know, with my colleagues, working with my team. But it's about picking your spot. So I know that the critical points, morning arrival, I got you. Then lunch, recess, and then dismissal. You got to pick the critical the components where you know everything's going to meet and you really, that's when they need your presence.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's really important because, you know, at least from my experience, I know administrators have so much on their plates and like in not, you can't, there's, you can't be transparent about everything, obviously.
Right.
There are things you can't share. But, you know, teachers kind of get irritated when they're like, where the heck is the principal? Like, it's been a minute since I've seen him or her, you know?
Yeah.
Where are they? But, like, I really like that you pull a point or multiple points in your day to make yourself known and, you know, build those relationships with your staff and students. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I had a principal, I'm like, bro, do you work here? I ain't seen you in like, like I'm talking about, I don't know where my man's is at.
I know.
As one more quick point, though, to that about the being visible, and especially like the morning rounds. So I was telling my coworkers, you know, a lot of times we're going to do evaluations, right? The anxiety builds. You know, teachers, they get uptight, they feel, you know, they feel a little more tense.
Yeah.
You can avoid some of that or lower that if you are always around or if you're coming in. So I just walk in, just kind of, hey, what's going on, y'all? Cool. And if I'm always doing that, then that's less tension than when you only see me when it's evaluation time.
Right.
That's very important.
I used to hate when I had some good mentors.
I can tell.
Shout out that.
I used to hate when my administrators, like at my old school, I'd have like a team of people walk in at once and it would like they just do district walkthroughs. So I'd have the principal, the other principal, the building principal, and then I'd have the associate superintendent, and then I'd have three people from the state. And we got like 10 people waddling in
to the
back of the room. Right. And they're like, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, well, now you just disrupted the whole thing.
Then you got all the kids like, who are all these people? And that's all they want to talk about. And that's all they want to look at. It's like, we cannot just keep going doing what we've been doing.
My friend told me one time she had a kid, the superintendent of schools came in, sat right behind him, and you know our kid, they don't like new people. And he came in with a suit on, no new friends. He didn't know who that was.
No new friends.
And he came in and sat behind him, and the student turned around, looked at him, he looked at his teacher and was like, who the hell is this guy? It was the superintendent of schools. And luckily, like, you know, he had taught, so he was chill about it. But the kids, you know how they is.
It was a newcomer. It's a newcomer. What's going on?
I don't know.
Tell me actually, though, was you aware that they were coming?
No.
Nobody made you aware?
No. My district, that old district, used to do, like, just unannounced walkthroughs on a daily. But, like, you know, for the teachers, we would, you know, have our phones near us, so we would text. And like, if one person just got a walkthrough, they'd be like, the eagle has landed.
The eagle has landed.
And you know, yeah, And you know that they're that coming. So you're lot, like, yeah. All right, kids. Now, remember, our I can statement is,
okay. Hey, I got a question. Why y'all make us write them dangum standards and learning targets on the board? Is that for y'all? Wait, nobody is reading that stuff.
First of all, that's from the district. And we're going to follow policy, you know, if they're watching. We're going to follow the school policy. And that's from the district. So too much we can do about that.
Okay.
We find a silver lining. I want
to know, too, how much stuff, because sometimes when we bring problems to admin, they, in some instances, their hands are tied. Yes. How much stuff are y'all's hands really tied on?
A lot. But again, what you do is you try to think of a way in order to which both parties can leave with an understanding. So you ain't got to be happy. So my job is not to make you happy all the time, because I'm not. But if you have a clear understanding of why, right? But again, I can't be transparent with everything, but you have some type of understanding, then at least I'm going to think you are sensible enough. You're a professional. So you're sensible enough to know, all right, I get it. You know, I get it. At least there's an effort there, but in this situation. But yeah, a lot of times, it'd be.
Because I wonder how much red tape, because sometimes, like, admin and leave, and I'm like, bro, you ain't even do nothing. I don't even know what I called you for. And I'm like, but then they're like, well, my hands are tied. Like, how much your hands really tied? Because they don't look tied to me. Like, you know, because we come from different perspectives, obviously, perception.
Yes.
But for teachers, perception is reality. For admin, perception is reality. For people in general, you know, perception is reality. But I wanted to, like, we wanted to, because we changed our whole episode because we realized, like, you had some really, you know, insightful things to say, and you're the first admin that we've ever had, you know, on the podcast. So we wanted to give a admin perspective, not in a bashing way, but just in a, like, can we ask you, like, as teachers, what, you know, and then the admin that are disconnected from the classroom, because a lot of your administrative colleagues are disconnected from the classroom. Mm-hmm. And so how, like, other than you going in and, like, you know, you say hey to the kids, how do you stay connected and remember what it was like to be a teacher?
Yeah, it's, I mean, at the end of the day, well, one, starting with, and again, I think most of my perspective and my views, yes, it comes from my leadership and it comes from, you know, my mentors. But I really enjoy, love teaching. But I also remember what it felt like when I had those situations, when I had a problem with a student. I remember going to my dean and saying, hey, I don't know what to do with him. What can you tell me? And then my dean's like, well, I don't have a magic bullet. And I know how I felt when he said that.
Yeah.
Or she said that, you know, once upon a time.
Right.
I know. So then when I reflect on that, I don't want to be the one to make you feel like that.
Right.
So it's one of those where I'm not a problem. I'm not going to say I'm going to resolve everything, but at least you want to know I'm going to attempt.
Conscious about what you're saying to people. I'm going to be like, really conscious.
Because some of these folks act like they ain't never been in a classroom before. Like, they just completely forgot. Like, they, you know, got amnesia or something.
Or, like, you try to communicate something to them, and they'll just be like, well, why can't you just do this? Or, like, you know, like, we were in the district I used to teach in, we were very bogged down with, like, paperwork and data. And, like, it felt like this data was coming out of my ears. And I had nowhere to do with it. Yeah, what do you do with it? File 13. So we just...
I think that file 13 is data.
So, like, we would have all this data we had to input. And then I would, you know, they would come into the... We had meetings every single morning at my old school. Every morning. And they would add something else onto the plate. And we, you know, people would voice their opinions and say, listen, like, I've already got this, and this that I'm trying to do that you want me to do.
Bogged down.
How do I add this other thing? And they're like, well, guys, best practice. And they would just, you know, spout off what you'd heard in college. But it's different when you're actually in the trenches, you know?
Like, 100%. Really, 100%. It's different. And to that, again, that's where I go back to. I feel like I'm paid to think. Like, my job, that's what I get paid to do. I get paid to think, the process. Oh, let me figure something out. Let me find different, what's a different approach that I can take with any of this? Because a lot of times, when it comes from the district, kind of like y'all, like, oh, we have somebody to answer to. So it has to be this way. Now, how we implement it may can be tweaked. Right. So again, there was a lot of times this year where my teacher had we gotta do this assessment, this training, this, that. And then my principal was like, you know what? Okay, guys, here's what we're gonna do. So we're gonna take this day to do this. So instead of having you know, this work day, instead of doing a team huddle, I want you to give you the gift of time. I know you have some of this, and that gift of time is very important.
Right. Yes,
and I watch it happen a lot.
Yes.
And it seems small because it's not, you know, monetary or anything like that, but that gift of time is so invaluable and teachers appreciate it because, you know, at least if we can't remove their training, we at least can do something to give you back time to do what you need to do.
And my principal did that. Like, we started using a data wall for our benchmarking.
Yeah, we had a data wall.
Yeah, for the leveling. So the first year we implemented it, we had all the cards cut out and everything, and we put our data on it. And then, we were dealing with something in the winter, and, you know, they were like, oh, can you have all your data cards done by tomorrow at 2 o'clock? I'm like, okay, it's already 2:55 today, right. And I have a full day of teaching tomorrow. When would you like me to do this? And she actually, like, got all the cards off the wall and, like, sat and wrote them all out for all of the teachers just to be helpful. And, you know, like, there are a lot of administrators who don't do things like that, who, you know, are like, well, I am going to tell the teachers what to do, and they have to do it, and it needs to be done, and that's it. But, like, for administrators to actually, like, take on some of the tasks that, you know, the teachers are expected to do, even if it's something that, you know, you guys might not be enforcing, it's something that is being handed down to you at the state level, county level, whatever, it means the world to us. Right. And I'll speak for myself and probably everyone else. Uh-huh. Right. It means the world to us when administrators take the time out of their day to help and to physically dig in there and do something about it. Yeah. Right.
Well, this has been a great episode. Mm-hmm. I know y'all gonna have a lot of questions for Barry.
We'll have him again one day.
Yeah, we're gonna 100%. Have to have you back.
We love Barry.
Just real quick. Is a lot of phenomenal school leaders out there. I know we were speaking on a lot of we're not doing. That could be a small bunch, right? But it's so many phenomenal that are working tirelessly every single day that might not, you know, get that shine or might not be as vocal in public. So we know there's a ton. Yeah. And we just kind of maybe speaking to like a little population just so we can get that dialogue going because we need this. Administrator, teacher, right? We need to break that bridge. And this is how we do it. You asked earlier, how do we start building bridging that gap? By having these dialogues, these conversations outside. And I think that's very, very important. All right,
I always feel like the cameraman gonna be like the dude Showtime at the Apollo when they used to come on stage and yank you off with a cane. If you know, the dude will come out there and chase you. But we love y'all. Don't forget, check out Teacher Style Box. Don't forget, we got our merch out now, shop.boardteachers.com. Please go follow Barry. He's on Instagram, Barry White Jr. __. So he's cool people. He family. We love him. But y'all, hope y'all have a great week, enjoying. I don't even know what month this episode come out in, but
I think we'll be in school by then, but if not,
enjoy your life.
Yeah,
we'll see y'all next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye. Bye. Bye.